Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We are here with another episode of Divorce Confidential. I am Michelle Delino. I'm a family law attorney in Seattle. I'm here with my co-host, Amy Alpeza, certified divorce real estate specialist. And today we have a guest with us, which is really awesome. Kristen Blosser is with us today. And what we're going to do is we're going to give you some tips and things that you probably would never think about in the divorce process that will only add to your stress later. Kristen's here to talk about something no one wants to talk about, which is insurance, but it's something everybody needs to talk about. So Amy, glad to have you here with me as always, and happy to have Kristen here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for being here, everyone. Kristen, welcome.
And thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Kristen, you know, obviously insurance is one of those things that often just gets overlooked, but it's something that's essentially a necessity. So I was hoping you could tell us some of the things that you think people need to know, because obviously it's one of those things that people just don't think about. And it's something that I see come up all the time in every single one of my cases, what's happening with the insurance. So give us your tips and tricks.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, when you know, obviously, as you mentioned, insurance is not something that anybody ever wants to think about. They set it, forget it. And then, you know, a couple of years later, they maybe get something in the mail and say, oh, okay. You know, it is what it is. And let's file it away. I don't even want to bother it with it. But the first thing, one of the major, on that note, one of the most important things is to look at your policy every year. Make sure it seems really simple, but make sure those policies are accurate. Make sure that the items that are listed are correct. You know, I know I've mentioned this to you too before, but I've had clients call me up and a year and a half later say, oh, I sold that house 2 years ago. You know, why is it still on my insurance? Wow. We aren't notified when there's a sale, or, you know, when there's a sale of the home. People assume it's part of the closing process because you need insurance to close on a home or close on a refi or something. But we aren't notified. That's not part of the closing escrow process at all. We have to rely on our clients. And fortunately, there is documentation that we're able to look up and confirm that you sold it 2 years ago, thankfully, thanks to the assessor sites. But yeah, people just, they, you know, a lot of those homeowners policies are paid via escrow or the mortgage, and they get paid for the full year. And then you don't really think about it because, you know, it's not a payment or a bill that's coming to you every month. So take a look at those policies. Also, what you want to confirm is that you have all the correct vehicles listed. A lot of people will go out and purchase vehicles or sell their cars. When they purchase a vehicle, you're so excited, you want to drive it around. And I'm sure a lot of insurance agents have let people know this, but there is a grace period to get those vehicles added. And a lot of people get so excited that they forget to add those vehicles. So the last thing you want to do is, you know, be 6 months down the road and say, hey, I just bought this Honda, or I bought this Tesla. I should have had it added. I bought it a while ago. That goes hand in hand with operators on the policies. Kids are the biggest one. They are the biggest rate driver, I'll just say, because, you know, the younger, when they're under 25, there is a higher rate for them. When the kids move out of the house or they're living on their own somewhere else, if they get their own apartment, they should really be off your policy and have their own policy. And a lot of times that gets missed if, you know, they can stay on your policy while they're in college. But when they're done with college and they move out permanently, you want to get them off your policy because it's not only going to save you money in the long run, it's also going to save you from some liability if they do get in a car accident.
Definitely.
Disassociate with that. And then a big one as far as it relates to divorce is the valuables listed on the policies. A lot of people insure their rings, pieces of art, jewelry, you name it. The valuables is probably the most overlooked piece on insurance policies. When I say valuables, These are specifically listed for their value. There's no deductible or anything like that. We're not notified who takes possession of those items, or if you give them away to a family member, or if you sell them, or whatever you do with them. We aren't notified of that until you tell us. You know, and with the separation of assets, those can be some pretty big assets, valuable assets, next to the home. So you'll really want to take a look at those lists and make sure, hey, I don't have that necklace anymore. I don't have these rings anymore. I'm not insuring that. Those are some really key things. And it seems really, really simple to just look at your policies, but it is something that people don't do. Another thing that will drive your rate that you should make sure of, if you, as far as it goes with divorce, if you have moved out of that home and you have a vehicle in another location, you want to make sure the vehicle is garaged or located or rated for at your new location, because the zip codes, those can fluctuate your insurance. So if you're moving from Seattle to Woodinville, the rate for car insurance in Woodinville is going to be way less than it is in downtown Seattle. So
you could really like save yourself money. I mean, just by your move, basically.
Yeah, you can just by looking at your policy and yeah, if you move into an apartment or something, or a temporary residence, yeah, you could save quite a bit. I've seen rates fluctuate from Northgate to even Pioneer Square. That's how significant where your car is located is to a policy. So you want to make sure all that stuff is in line, because you don't, why pay for something when you don't need to?
Sure.
You
know?
like why pay
Definitely.
More?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Do you deal with people where, I mean, this is the thing about divorce too, is, you know, everybody has insurance, whether they are the one that set it up or anything like that. And then we're often going from taking people that are on shared policies to setting up their own. What are some of the things people need to think about, like when setting up their own? You mentioned a really important thing, which is obviously valuables. I mean, who has those? Where are they going to be? And making sure you have enough coverage. But what are the other things that you really think people need to know when they're thinking about getting an insurance policy, and maybe they feel like they've never done it before because they're not the one that handled it? Do you run into that very often?
All the time. I would say 99% of the time, especially in divorce or separation situations, or just generally. I think people need to know that their agent or broker is there to answer those questions. We are licensed. We have to maintain our license. We have to maintain education. You know, we do all that because we are the experts. You do not have to understand all of this. So What I really want people to understand is ask the questions. If you don't understand something, just ask. That's what we're there for. And you should have, you should find somebody that you can trust and that you, you can have those conversations with. Somebody that will explain these, the policies in terms that you can understand. I've been in insurance for going on 14 years now. I've run the gamut in all different areas of insurance, and I've worked in claims. I've worked in, subrogation. You're probably like, what is subrogation? I've worked on the legal side. And because I've had all those different exposures to different, you know, front lines, you know, just insurance speak and whatnot, I've been able to really hone in how to convey insurance so that people understand it. And so that's, I would recommend you find somebody, not to toot my own horn, but somebody that can convey this stuff so you understand it and you know what you're getting and you know how the policies are going to respond. Yeah, because I mean, when I come across somebody who hasn't had much exposure, if any, to insurance, or they're in that scenario, like, hey, my spouse handled this. This is totally out of my purview. I don't get it. I don't really want to get it. you know, like, I just want to know it's going to respond if something happens.
I have a question. Just to jump in, I have a quick question, like related to that, because I didn't realize until, I don't know, I mean, not that long ago, just even the difference between, you know, different insurance carriers, as far as like how they respond, what might be better for a certain person's needs, that there really even is a difference between, you know, State Farm, Chubb Insurance, Geico, all these different ones. And I think people also don't necessarily understand. And I know me and Amy deal with a lot of clients who they need help going through the process. And by working with, you know, and somebody like you, I think people need to understand how that is different from just going online and picking your insurance through Geico or eSurance. And people don't even know. So can you talk a little bit, just so people out there that are listening might understand, that insurance companies are seriously not created equal. And like you said, you're the person that's the expert and answers these questions. What happens when people just go online and buy insurance and don't know what they're buying? That's what I fear the most for my clients.
Yeah. And it happens a lot. People will come to me and say, hey, I got this great quote from X insurance company. It's online, and they show it to me, and it's this smoking rate, right? First and foremost, you getting a quote online, especially when you don't understand what the coverages are and how they protect you and your assets. What's the main goal in insurance? I mean, insurance is something you have to have that you never want to use. So why do you want to pay a boatload for it? So right. When you see that small amount at the bottom, you're like, sweet, I'm covered, good to go. Well, there's a lot that goes into it. The liability limits. There's a minimum requirement in the state of Washington of liability limits. Without going into too much detail, you need to meet those requirements. A lot of people don't think about, they see that $25,000 figure for property damage. You hit a Tesla, you hit a Mercedes, you hit two cars, you are done. And then you're on the hook for whatever's up and above and beyond that $25,000 limit. That said, above and beyond is all your tangible assets, like your home is on the table. They could, it's part of the settlement. Personal injury protection, or, you know, just replacement costs of your home, that kind of stuff. You're really missing a lot of the education and why you need certain coverages. And liability is the biggest one that people miss and underquote themselves with, because they don't understand what it protects, as I mentioned. Also, with going online, a lot of the times we have to run what we call run reports, which runs loss history, driving history. A lot of those sites, you don't run the report. So you get a number, and then you could go, I want to go with this. They'll run a report. If you have any claims activity or driving activity, that rate goes up.
It's like a smoke and mirrors.
It can be. Yeah. I mean, unless you have a spotless record, which, you know, a lot of people say, hey, I haven't gotten an accident in a long time. Well, accidents actually rate, they don't surcharge, but they rate in your, for your premium or your rate for up to 5 years after the loss. So, and tickets will as well. So those are kind of sneaky things that you forget about, but those aren't accounted for when you go in and quote online.
And another question that I had for you was, what's the difference between someone like you, who's a broker, and then someone who works for, you know, another nationwide company?
Oh, great question.
So in our in the industry, they call it captive versus independent. So an agent is considered captive, and captive would be they work for that carrier. So your State Farms, your Liberty Mutuals, your Farmers, Geico, Progressive does allow brokers to quote. But those are kind of the four off the top of my head that are the main captive agencies. So they're employed by the insurance company, and they're working for the insurance company. That's great. But you know, if you have a claim, their duty is to turn around and report that right away. They will not have a conversation with you to say, hey, you know, this, let's say your deductible is $500 and the damage or the claim you're reporting is only going to be $650. They're going to turn around and file those claims all day, and those impact you if you're ever trying to move your insurance, and it's going to impact your rate later on. And the other big piece is they can only quote with their their company. So State Farm can only quote with State Farm. Farmers can only do farmers, so on and so forth. Whereas a broker, we work for the client, and we work with multiple carriers or insurance companies, and we can do the shopping for you. We have a direct relationship with our underwriters. So if there's something that's kind of funky, we can always call them up and say, hey, what do you think about this? Like, we work very closely with them. So we have a little bit more say versus, you know, back to the point about going online and getting a quote. That's just a system that's going to say yay or nay to you. Whereas we actually have a conversation with the person that says yes or no. And so we have a lot more flexibility when it comes to claims. Like I was saying, if you have like a hypothetical, we'll talk to you about it all day. We'll go over the scenarios, what that could look like, how it will impact your rate. We don't have a crystal ball, and we can't tell you exactly what your rate increase is going to be if you file a claim. But we can tell you, maybe we should hold off on this one. It's close to the deductible, or hey, you've got a couple claims in here already. Let's, ease up. We really have those conversations with our clients on a daily basis, and let them really decide. Like, it's our job to educate and inform.
Like you give your clients a lot of personalized experience and personalized service that maybe someone else who is just a representative for a big company may not be able to get.
Yeah. And a lot of agents or brokers, you're going to talk to them. You're not going to talk to a call center. Mm-hmm. You'll talk to their team or them personally. So there's a lot more of a relationship there than just a policy count in the big picture. So having a broker also will take that, kind of stress off you. I mean, for example, we will get the renewals or whatever, your next renewal coming up. We get that information 45 to 60 days in advance, and we can see what's coming down the pipeline. And if it looks high, we start working on it. We talk to the underwriters and say, hey, what's going on here? If it's not something obvious. Personally, I work with people and I give them what I would do, or what kind of coverage I have or how I would approach it. When it comes to these kind of things, people are really looking to us to give them some guidance. And I'm not going to tell somebody do this when I wouldn't do that,
Totally.
I have my own real life examples that I provide explanations and being in claims, I've seen quite a bit. so I kind of know how things are going to pan out. And I can have those conversations with people. So.
Awesome.
That's great. Yeah. So helpful. And, I was thinking of something else, Amy, you probably do, I know you do actually deal with this as it relates to insurance. When people are getting divorced and they're moving on and they need to buy a property, I find that a lot of people don't even realize they have to have that policy and that homeowner's policy set up to even be able to close. They have to have it ready to go. It's not something you can figure out later. And I know, I would think having a broker that you are, in contact with and working with it makes that easier as opposed to somebody just trying to figure it out on the fly. Have you been dealing with that where people don't even know they have to have insurance set up? That seems to be a common theme.
Yeah. It definitely does, especially like Kristen was saying, when you have a couple, you've got one person who is typically in charge of the insurance throughout mm-hmm. the relationship. And then when they split up, these are just things that people don't think about, right? There's so many other things that they're thinking about during their divorce that insurance really is like the last thing that comes to mind. And so, it's our job, and I know Michelle, you probably get this too, but it's our job to remind them and to make sure, hey, do you have someone who's working for you, on the insurance side? Do you have someone who can set up new policies for you? And I mean, Kristen, she's been instrumental for a lot of my clients. And, yes, we definitely see that, but definitely something that if you're working with a professional and a team who can put you in contact with the right people and make sure that you're educated and that you have the resources for the right insurance for your situation is definitely critical.
Well, and to piggyback on that, you know, it's not just at the new purchase point. You know, if there is a separation and somebody is refinancing the home, that's the perfect time to look at the insurance. And if you're going to switch the homeowners, because it's just kind of a seamless start, you know, and you can start with a new policy with the refi and everything. That is one thing that a lot of people I think misunderstand is they're like, well, I'm doing a refi, so I want to wait till after that's done. And it's like, actually it's better to do it before because your refi is going to include your current insurance premium. So if you switch, there's going to be another premium that comes out, and without getting totally into it, there could be a shortage down the first year. And then it's a matter of reimbursing accounts and getting refunded. And so prior to refis is always the best time.
It's easier. And then Michelle, how do you work it in terms of, let's say like putting teenagers on driving policies? I mean, how do you determine or figure out who goes on whose policy during a divorce?
That's a great question. What we typically do is when we're figuring out the child support order and we talk about extra expenses. So that's when we decide if one parent is going to carry, the teenage child on their policy, and also whether the other parent is going to pay their proportional share of whatever the cost of the premium is to put the child on it, or whether it's just going to be something that one parent does. There's not really a right or wrong way to do it. It really depends on the particulars of the family, but it's definitely something that gets left out all the time of orders. And it's a really common thing for people to come back later and say, well, he needs to put so-and-so on his insurance, or she needs to. And it was never decided who would, and it was never decided if anyone would. And then it leaves this really omitted issue that has to be dealt with later. So it's a really important thing to get in your child support order if you're going to have kids that are driving age.
Yeah.
And on that note, if people are trying to decide who's, you know, what's more financially, you know, what's the financial advantage, you know, who has the better rate with the kid on the policy, if it's a 50-50 type situation or whatever, your agent or broker can run quotes for you at your new location, or, you know, I've done that for a couple, that is going through it, and it's like, well, is it better for our son to be on her policy or mine? And it turned out it was better to be on hers.
Great point.
Because dad has a couple accidents, and then adding a 16-year-old is going to go through the roof. Now that's an amicable situation where they both want to make sure that they're not paying too much, but it's really your agent or broker can run those quote scenarios for you, so you have an idea of what the total cost is going to be. And we can run quotes for anything. I mean, that's what we're here for. You know, you don't have to estimate or guess like, oh, I don't know how much this is going to be X, Y, and Z. Like, so yeah, that's what we're here for.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something people just don't think about. So, I mean, this has been super helpful. I can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on. Kristen, if people want to reach out to you and get in touch and work with you, what's the best way?
Well, email is always the best because then I can get a feel, or even phone, by phone. Do you want me? I can give my phone.
Yeah.
Number.
Lay it on us. That'd be great.
Yeah. So phone is 206-957-7042. That's my direct line. And then my email is kblosser@siginsures.com. Sometimes that's a mouthful. Otherwise, you can look us up at www.siginsures.com. And then
great.
Find all
Thank
our stuff.
Thank you so much.
That's, yeah,
this
no
has
problem.
Really
thanks
been
for
awesome.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having
all right.
me.
Yeah.
All right. So I just wanted to say too, anybody that's out there, if you have not talked to someone about insurance, don't overwhelm her phone lines, but call Kristen. Obviously she knows her stuff, and frankly, you can't afford really to be underinsured or to go through this process alone. So having somebody that knows is always the best tip from the pros. So thanks for being here. Thanks to all of our listeners, and we'll see you next time.